Good morning. Welcome to all those that are with us. We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Yom Kippur, Halacha Beis, Paragraph Hey. We dedicate the Shir today again for Refu Shalema for Gavriel Shlomoy Ben Idit, Besoich Shar Chol Yisrael. All those that are ill should have a complete refuah. All those that need any kind of Yeshua should be able to get it. The topic we're going to do, we started yesterday the topic of crying and tears. Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into it a little bit more today based on what the Torah tells us about one of the wives of Yaakov Avinu, Leah, crying. And then he's going to go into the topic of eating on Erev Yom Kippur and fasting on Yom Kippur. V'zeh b'chinas ve'enei Leah rakois. The Torah puts these two together in one pasuk, that the eyes of Leah were swollen from tears, whereas Rachel, her sister, was beautiful. Yifas toyar v'yifas mareh. Einei Leah rakois, the fact that Leah cried a lot to such an extent that it affected her eyes, Zebchinas nar boiche. This is connected to what we learned about earlier, about crying, the Jewish people in general crying on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, during times of tshuva, crying in the form of tshuva. And we mentioned at the end of the previous paragraph that according to Kabbalah, the tears that come out of a person's eyes are from the excesses of the gall and the spleen. In other words, they're related to the sitra achra in a sense. Unfortunately, very often tears are associated with sadness, unhappiness, depression. But here we're not talking about depression, we're talking about brokenheartedness, which is a holy state. But in any case, we saw at the end of the previous paragraph that when a person cries, especially for Kedusha, crying to express sincere regret over mistakes of the past and pleading with Hashem for a relationship, a good relationship with Hashem, we said that that crying removes from the body the droplet of Esav and Yishmael, a tumah that could be inside our bodies. So Rav Nosson Zal says, "Ze bechinas nar boiche, shal yidei ze megarshin meyatzmoi bechinas tipa seisav Yishmoel." That the crying of Leah is associated with the crying that we do during this period of tshuva, by which we remove from ourselves this droplet of Esav and Yishmoel. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to show an incredible connection here. Ki einei Leah rahayu rakois. The Torah tells us that Yitzhak Avinu had two sons, Yaakov and Esav, and Lavan had two daughters, Rachel and Leah. And it was common knowledge that these two were destined to marry these two, that Esav was destined to marry Leah, and Yaakov Avinu was destined to marry Rachel. And Leah, knowing what an evil, wicked Russia Esav was, she cried constantly, pleading with Hashem that she should not fall into Esav's lot. She cried so that she should not fall into the portion of Esav. Kileo mi sitra dedino kashya. Because the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Leah is associated with severe din, judgment from the side of Hashem. She's connected to the left side where the most severe Midas Hadin comes from. Sheshom Ikar Achizas Bechinas Esav Yishmael. And that's really the main place within holiness, within spirituality, where Esav and Yishmael draw their energy from. They draw from the left side. V'chol ha'avois v'imois hoyo ikar avoidosam hoyo levarer hadas digdusha mibchinas tipas Esav v'Yishmael. And one of the main focuses of the efforts of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov and Sara Rivka Rachel Leah was to try to remove the tipa of Esav Yishmael, to remove the tumah that got attached to the holy das, the holy intellect. When did this happen? Shenisarev al yidei chet Odom Arishon, kayodua, as a result of Odom and Chava choosing to partake from the Eitz Hadas Toivora, Hashem had told him that in Gan Eden there's an Eitz Hachaim, which is pure. There's an Eitz Hadas, which has good and bad. Stay away from it. The fact that they didn't stay away from it, they partook from the Eitz Hadas Toivora, is what caused good and bad to become mixed together in everything. And now it becomes a whole difficult process, number one, to distinguish, to differentiate between good and bad, and to be able to remove the bad and be able to benefit from the good. So we're told here that the forefathers and the mothers of the Jewish people, this was one of their focuses on a spiritual level, to purify the das, to remove the tumah from the das, meaning to remove this droplet of Esav and Yishmael. V'alkein lay, and therefore Leah shohisa margeshes shenechas bo b'chinas tipas Esav, and therefore Leah, who felt that in her she's associated with the left side, she's connected to that midas hadin, she felt the connection to this droplet of Esav, hoisa yireya shloi tipo b'chelkoi. Therefore, she was very much afraid that she shouldn't fall into Esav's lot. And this is why she was constantly crying about this. Because as we explained at the end of the previous paragraph, by crying, a person extracts and removes from the body that droplet of Esav and Yishmael. Ukemoikein, and similarly, kol echod mi Yisrael. Leah is an example for every single Jew, that each and every single one of us, kishemargish biatzmoi achizas hasitrachra, when we feel that the forces of tuma, the forces of the sitrachra, have attached themselves to us, shehu b'chinas tipas Esav Yishmael, where one description of the Sitra Achra is this droplet of Esav and Yishmael, meaning she'adayin lo nizbarer etzloi hatoiv mehara, when a person feels that inside of themselves the good and the bad are still mixed up together, they're doing good things and bad things. When a person feels that, then sohu tzorich livkois harbe, the person needs to cry a lot to Hashem. Hashem, save me from falling in with Esav, shehu hasatan, hu hayetzahara, which means I shouldn't succumb to the evil inclination. Validei habechia v'hadmois, and through the crying and through the tears that a person cries in prayer to Hashem, hu megareish b'chinas tipas Esav Yishmael. Through this, the person releases from their body, they remove that droplet of Esav and Yishmael, that tumah, v'yidezeh zoichel lahamshich hadas el b'chinas malchus, so Esrei Kanal. And through this, we're zoichel to purify the das and be able to do what it needs to do, which is to travel down from the das, from the brain, to travel down through the body and to go all the way down to the malchus, which is represented by the esroig within the Dalet Minim, as we learned in the previous year. V'ze b'chinas ve'ein eileo rakois v'rochel hoisif astoyer. Now we understand why the Torah puts these two together, that as a result of the crying, shal yidei ein eileo rakois, by Leah's crying, by a person who's in the category of Leah, a person who feels connected to the left side, to the Sitra Achra, to the Midas Adin, and the person cries, Al yidei ha-bechia, bechinas nar boicha, through the crying, which the Zohar HaKadosh refers to as a person coming before Hashem as a child who cries, or as a person who realizes that my das is lacking, al yidei zeh v'rochel hoiso yefas toar. That brings beauty into Rochel, bechinas hidur ha-esroig, which is the beauty of the Esroig, Shehu Bechinas Rochel, which is associated with Rochel, Bechinas Malchus. We know that Rochel corresponds to the Malchus, the Hovein. And Rav Nosson Zal says, understand well how Rav Nosson Zal connected the topic of the Dalet Minim, the four species that we take on Sukkos, the Lulav and Hadassim, Arovois and the Esroig, and how he connected it to the avoida of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the crying, the tears. And now, how he explained the connection between Leah and Rachel and the whole concept of a person crying in tefillah, especially during the high holidays, as a means of preparing, laying the groundwork for a beautiful Esroig, for the Tikkun HaMalchus. In terms of Rachel being the Malchus, it's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, we know that Kaviyochel, the throne of Hashem, has four legs. Those four legs are very often referred to, they have the image of four leaders of the Jewish people upon them. The three forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and David HaMelech is called the Regel HaRavi, the fourth leg of the throne of Hashem. And these four correspond to the four letters of Yud Ke Vav Ke, of which the last one, the He, the last He of Yud Ke Vav Ke, we say corresponds to the Malchus. That's Dovid HaMelech. Sometimes we're told that it's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rochel. Rochel is that fourth leg of the throne of Hashem. And these four names, the first letters of these four names make up the word Iyar. The second month of the Jewish calendar, Nisan Iyar, Iyar is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rochel. So that Dovra Melech represents the Malchus, Rochel Imenu represents the Malchus Dikdush also. Whereas Leah generally represents Bina, the source, the upper Shechina, the source from which all Midas Hadin emanates. And sometimes they're referred to, just like the Sifrei Kabbalah explained, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because there are two levels of judgment from Hashem. There's Dina Kashya and there's Dina Rafya. There's severe judgment and there's lighter judgment, corresponding to these two Shechinas, Leah and Rochel. That's a little bit of background information to help, hopefully. Any questions, please?
Yes, I would like to ask the Rav to explain what is the difference between Klipat Esav and Klipat Ishmael Tachlas in Avodat Hashem. I know it's one is Yemin and one is small, but more than that.
The answer is that this is discussed in several places in Likutei Halachos. One example of this is Rabbi Nachman, in the chapter 2 of Likutei Moran, in the first part of Likutei Moran, speaks about tefillah, and he says that it's important when a person is praying to have mishpat associated with the prayer, because prayer is compared to a sword. There's a pasuk, Roimam Oiskel Bigroinam, they praise Hashem with their throat, V'cheref Pifiois Biyodam, and we carry a double-edged sword in our hand. And Rabbi Nizal explains that when you have a sword, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win the battle. With a sword, you have to know how to wield the sword to center it, that the sword should strike the target. It should strike at the heart in order to defeat the enemy. So Rabbi Nizal says that when it comes to a person's tefillah, he has to be sure that the tefillah should be centered to strike. And for this, it requires mishpat, because as we learned in the previous year, mishpat is the center. There's chesed on the right, there's gvura on the left, and there's emes in the middle. Emes and mishpat go together, mishpatei Hashem emes. So Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos explains, what does that mean, centering one's prayer? And he explains that there are two potential mistakes that a person could make, which weaken their resolve in praying. One mistake is that the person says, prayer is nonsense. You have to do. You have to do something. Praying isn't gonna solve the problem. You have to go and do. That's called the Klipas Esav, Miloshen Asiya. He doesn't believe in praying. He says, this is the Olam Huasiya. Here, if I do something, it'll happen. If I don't do it, it won't work. If I go out to work, I'll make money. If I don't work, I can't have money. So I won't be able to eat. That's one klipa. And the other klipa is the klipa of Yishmael. Yishmael was named because Shoma Kel, Hashem heard. The klipa of Yishmael tells the person, you prayed already, it's enough. You don't have to, you know, okay. Number one, Hashem knows what's in your heart, so you don't even really have to say the words. And if you prayed for a couple of minutes, it's enough. And that's also a mistake. Because we see, even in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu and Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, we see how prayer is not fast food. Very often a person has to pray a lot in order to achieve their goal. Yitzchak and Rivka prayed for years before they were able to produce children, to have Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for 40 days and then another 40 days before he was successful in his prayer. And when he wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael, he prayed 515 prayers and he wasn't finished. He wasn't finished. So these Esav on the left, Yishmael on the right, you know, representing, this is one example. Throughout Likutei Halachos, this comes up in different places, and Rav Nosson Zal gives different explanations of what each one represents.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Rav Maimon, Esav, you spoke about a sword for prayer. Doesn't Esav also have a sword from Ma'adim that Rav Nosson references to use against the wicked?
Definitely. The power of Esav is referred to as the Al-Char B'chot Tichya. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this a lot in Yoredeya, where he speaks about Hilcha Shechita, the knife of the Shoichet. This concept of Cherev no Kemes Nekambris, there's a lot written about it. Sure.
Thank you. Does that at all dovetail into this discussion about prayer? Or?
It would seem that, again, opposing the sword of Esav, we have the sword of Kedusha, the Cherev of Kedusha, which is prayer. Remember, the Pasuk says, HaKoil Koil Yaakov V'Hayodayim Yidei Esav, that the power of Yaakov is his voice, which refers to his power of prayer, especially, and the power of Esav is his hands, which means, again, the sword that he holds in his hands. So he has a sword, we have a double-edged sword, you know, the power of prayer.
Thank you.
Okay, now we continue. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes into the topic of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur and fasting on Yom Kippur. V'zeh b'chinas yoim ha-kippurim she'tzrichim l'hisanoisos. Based on what we've been learning here, we'll understand the importance of fasting on Yom Kippur. Ki ikar lechus v'shamnunis haguf she'oil el hamoyach hu kefi ho achila. Because we spoke in the previous shiur, we spoke about the fact that the brain is nourished from the liquids and oils of the body that rise up to the brain. The brain is compared to a candle that's burning, and the oil that feeds the candle is the liquids of the body. And we gave one example, one very important example, which is the bris kodesh, the seed, the zera that comes out of the bris. To the degree that a person maintains that in holiness and purity, that's one of the liquids that feeds the brain the nourishment that it needs to be able to think properly. Thoughts, holy thoughts. But Rav Nosson Zal tells us here that we know also that it's when we're eating and drinking also nourishes the brain, is one of the main sources of the liquids of the body. Kayadua b'chush, as we see in real life. Umachmas chetot amorishon, she'ochal meyetz hadas toivora, And because of the sin of Adam HaRishon, who ate what he wasn't supposed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, al yedei zeh nifgam ho achila. This caused the process of eating to become damaged. V'nisarei b'chol hamacholim b'chinas tipas esav yishmoel. And as a result, there's a tumah, there's an impurity, there's an unhealthiness that has entered and become mixed into all food, which is referred to as this droplet of Esav and Yishmael. Umachmazen, because of this, kishoilin halechus vashamnunis mehamaacholim elamoyach, when the moisture and liquids of the food and drink that we eat rises up to the brain, there could very easily be mixed into it the droplet of Esav and Yishmael, which will damage our brain, which will damage our thinking. And therefore, on Yom Kippur, when we're required to eliminate completely this droplet of Esav and Yishmael, ki oz gemar tikun hamalchus kayadua, because on Yom Kippur is when we achieve a certain level of completion and perfection of the malchus, as is known, she ikar hatikun al yidei shemegarshnu mevatlin tipas Esav Yishmael, whereby one of the main aspects of perfecting the malchus is by eliminating, removing that droplet of Esav and Yishmael, umamshichin hadas el bechinas hamalchus, and drawing pure holy das into the malchus without that junk, without the tipas Esav Yishmael, alkein therefore osur lechol klal biyom kippurim, it is forbidden to eat at all on Yom Kippur, kedei shelo litein shum mokim vachiz o klal bechinas tipas Esav Yishmael biyom hazeh, because we don't want to take any chance of allowing any drop of this Tipas Esav Yishmael to be included in any way on Yom Kippur. Ki oz ein lehem shum shlito klal. Because on Yom Kippur, they are supposed to be completely absent. They have no power at all whatsoever, this Sitra Achra. Ki koilo shato islohu rishul astinu. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, throughout the rest of the year, the prosecuting angels have permission to prosecute us. Bar miyom kippurim, except for Yom Kippur. We mentioned before the word hasaton, the prosecuting angel. The word hasaton is bigimatria 364. One day a year, he has no power to prosecute. Ki oz hu slichos avonos. Yom Kippur is the main day of forgiveness of sins. V'ikar slichas avonos hu bechinas zu. And that one of the main aspects of forgiveness for sins is associated with this. Shemegarshin tipas Esav Yishmael. We chase away completely, we drive out completely the droplet of Esav Yishmael, shemishom kol havonos, which was the cause of all sins. The Gemara says it's the same angel that comes down and tries to seduce the person, convince the person to commit a sin. That same angel is the one who goes up to heaven to testify against the person. And that same angel is the one that's given the sword, the weapon, chas v'shalom, to execute the punishment. V'alkein chiyuv lechol be'er of Yom Kippur. And this will also explain why it's an obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur. Ki bevadai ikar hamoyach hu al yidei hu achila. Because most definitely, what assists the brain in functioning is food, eating. Shemishom oilen lechus v'shamnunes haguf. It's from the food that we eat that the results, the moisture and the liquids of the body go up to the brain. Shemalin oisam mebechinas hechtim besoroi lebechinas choisam nikdusha. And if the person is living a proper holy life, the person is changing the hechtim besoroi, which represents the tomei liquids, zivus, zov, The Torah uses the term hechdim besoroi to refer to a person who has a tomei, an impure emission coming out of their body, elevating, changing the hechdim to choisam dikdusha, to a seal of holiness, which is the term attributed to the bris milah, to the tefillin, the holy tefillin that we wear on the head. Shezeh ikar yoyim hakipurim. This is really what Yom Kippur is all about. She'ozu gmar choisam dikdusha. Yom Kippur is when we complete this holy seal, this choisam. In the final prayer on Yom Kippur, Ne'ilu, we say, v'chosmenu, v'chasoim. V'alkein behechrech le'chol be'erev Yom Kippur. And this is why we must eat on Erev Yom Kippur, k'dei lahalo yisachar kach b'yoyim ha'kippurim, lebechinas choisam dikdusha, al yidei hu'achilo shel Erev Yom Kippur. In order to start the process, the eating on Erev Yom Kippur enables us that through the service of Hashem that we will perform on Yom Kippur, we will be elevating the hechdim to the choisam of kedusha. Avol b'yoyim ha'kippurim bi'atzmoi, whereas on Yom Kippur itself, osur lechol, it's forbidden to eat. Why? Ki al kol ponim, because despite everything, even by a religious person, even by a good person, b'shas v'achila, at the time that the person is eating, yesh achizo lebechinas tipa seisa v'yishmoel. This tumah, this impurity that's called the tipa of Esa v'yishmoel, has a connection. It's present. Rak she'achar kach mevarem oisam. It's just that after the person eats, they can, by saying the Birchas HaMozon with kavona, by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, the person can separate this tipa of Esa v'Yishmoel, remove it, and elevate the good portion of the food. Aval achshav b'yoyim ha'kippurim, whereas now, on Yom Kippur itself, osur she'yir lehem shum achizah b'al maklal, it is forbidden to allow them to have any presence whatsoever. Ki ikar slichas avoynis b'yom ha'kippurim, because what helps us achieve the forgiveness, the complete forgiveness on Yom Kippur, is the fact that we've chased away, we've eliminated this tipa of Esa v'Yishmoel completely. And that's why it's impossible for a Jew to be eating on Yom Kippur. It would be completely wrong. Rak meho achilo shel erev Yom Kippurim. However, as a result of all the prayers and all the good things that we're doing on Yom Kippur, as a result of that, from the food that we ate the day before, mevararin umalin mebechinas hechtim besoroi lebechinas choisam idgusha, we elevate it from a state of imperfection, where it's in the category of hechtem besoroi, it gets elevated to choisam of kedusha. Shezeh ikar yoyim hakipurim. This is one of the main efforts that we're putting in on Yom Kippur, is to elevate from hechtem to choisam, from tumah to tahara. Shehu b'china shmira sabris. This is associated with the concept of purity of the bris kodesh. Shekol avoidosoi b'koyin gadol. And as we mentioned earlier, the major service in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur had to be performed by the Kohen Gadol. Shehoya kodosh b'kdushas habris yoiser mikol Yisrael, who had more requirements of purity in the area of bris than all of the Jews. He's not allowed to marry a divorcee, he's not allowed to marry a widow, and he's not allowed to go into a cemetery, all the different requirements. And in addition, v'loy ira keri l'koin gadol b'yom ha'kippurim. The Gemara tells us that the Kohen Gadol had a special protection, that it never happened that an impure emission should come out of his body on the night of Yom Kippur. Because the Kohen Gadol, through all of his efforts, he elevated from hechtim besoroi, from tumah, lebechinas choisam dikdusha, to holiness. V'tipas Esa v'Yishmoel megarshin u'mevatlin al yidei habechia sheboichin b'yom ha'kippurim. And the way that we remove completely this droplet of Esav and Yishmael on Yom Kippur is through the crying that we cry on Yom Kippur, Bechinas Nar Boicha that we mentioned earlier, Al Yedei Sheboichin Beshas Haviduyim, especially during the time that the person is reciting the confession, the Oshamnu, the Bogadnu, the Alcheitz. That's one of the special places where if a person really concentrates on what they're saying and tries to put their heart into it, it's very possible that they'll be able to cry. Boze megarshin umevatlin kol achatoim. Through this, we chase away and eliminate all sins that we accumulated throughout the year. Shehein bechinas tipas Esav Yishmael, which is this droplet of Esav and Yishmael. Va'oz nishlam bechinas choysam nigdusha, and then the holy seal, the holy choysam is completed. Shehu tikun hamoyach b'shleimus, which results in perfection of a person's thinking, of a person's brain. We mentioned the Zohar HaKadosh says, siluka d'yesoido ad abba v'ima, that the efforts that a person puts in to have purity in Tikkun HaBris reach all the way up to Abba and Ima, to Chochma and Bina, which is the brain. And when the brain is functioning perfectly, then the Das can flow down, all the way down, reach down to the Malchus, and result in a beautiful Esroi. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'hovein heitev. When he adds these words, he means that he was talking about things that aren't so simple. Try to understand well. Try to study what we said carefully, review it, try to absorb it. Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen. Blessed is Hashem for always. Any questions, please? Great. We continue. We completed Yom Kippur, the topic of Yom Kippur. Now remember, throughout Likutei Halachos, there might be another 30, 40 places at least where Rav Nosson Zal discusses Yom Kippur connected to other topics. Very often he'll go from one topic to another topic, which is not directly the topic he's speaking about. But in this particular location, Rav Nosson Zal had these two halachos. Now we go into the holiday of Sukkot, and here we're going to have several halachas, very enlightening. Achar Yom HaKippurim, after Yom Kippur, She'oz Zochu L'choysim Bris Kodesh, when hopefully, if we performed all the mitzvahs of Yom Kippur properly, we achieve this purity of the Bris, this choysim of holiness, Bechinas Tikkun HaBris, Tikkun HaTfilah. Tikkun HaBris also goes together with Tikkun HaTfilah, Kanal, as was discussed previously, because we know that Tfilah is Malchus. Dovid HaMelech says, Va'ani Tfilah. And Malchus is right next to Yesoid. The sphere closest to it is Yesoid. So these two are very much connected. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this a lot in Likutei Maran. We mentioned the pasuk, Chagoyer Charbecho Al Yorech. Attach your sword to your thighs, to your loins, which is the bris area, showing the deep, significant connection between Tikkun HaBris and effective tefillah. Tekef achar kach maschilan lasuy besukkah. Immediately after Yom Kippur, we're involved in the sukkah. Now here it's interesting to note that there are different customs. There are some people who put up their sukkah before Rosh Hashanah even, or at least during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And the reason is they want to have the benefit of this mitzvah on their record going into Rosh Hashanah or going into Yom Kippur. There are other people that wait till after Yom Kippur, and this is mentioned in Halacha, that some people have the custom that immediately after Yom Kippur, you break your fast, you eat a little bit, and run out to start the building of the sukkah, to make some kind of preparation for putting up the sukkah. One of the reasons is that we know that sukkahs is called Zman Simchasenu, the time of our joy. And during these high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Simei Tshuva, we're in a position of fear. They're called Yomim Noiroim, days of awe. We can't really feel the Simcha until the end of Yom Kippur. When we come out of Yom Kippur, we say that Shema Yisrael Hashem Olakim, and that the Shulchan Aruch says when a person leaves shul at the end of Yom Kippur, a person is supposed to walk out of shul with joy and happiness, with faith and confidence that Hashem has accepted our prayers and Hashem is going to give us a good, happy, healthy year. And it's with that joy that we begin the process of putting up the sukkah. Ki sukkah toluy b'tikun habris, because the mitzvah of sukkah is directly connected to tikun habris. Ki hasukkah hu b'chinas anane kovod. We know the Gemara tells us that one of the reasons for the holiday of Sukkot is the fact that during the time the Jews traveled in the desert, we had seven clouds, holy clouds, that surrounded us and accompanied us throughout the whole trip, protecting us from all the other nations, from the elements, and performing all kinds of miraculous things for us. And it's told, the Gemara tells us, Va'oison shehoyu pigumim babris, hoyu he'onon poilton. Those people who were poigem in the bris, those people who committed sins and acted improperly regarding the bris kodesh, purity between men and women, that whole area, they were rejected by the clouds. The clouds did not excluded them. K'may shekosuv, as it says, when Amalek came to attack the Jews, it says, Vayizanev becho kol hanecheshole macharecho, that Amalek went after the tail. Zonov means a tail. And he attacked those who were straggling behind. Kamuva, and it's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, that this refers to those people who were not pure in Tikkun HaBris, and therefore they were left out of these Anane HaKovoy, these holy protective spiritual clouds, and therefore they were vulnerable to Amalek, who represents Pigam HaBris. The Pasuk says about Amalek, Asher Korcha Baderech, he came upon you on the road. And the word korcha, this form tell us, is miloshim keri, which is an impure emission from the body, chas v'shalom. It's brought also, interestingly, I believe the Yalka Toruveni mentions this, that the word hanecheshalim is made up of two words, mila, mem yud lamed hei, and nochosh. The nochosh, the snake, the original snake, represents the Satan, he represents Pigam HaBris. Mila is purity, is Tikkun HaBris, the Shleimus of Tikkun HaBris. The word HaNecheshalim shows the battle between the Nachash, the snake, which is the Satan, versus Mila, the power of Tikkun HaBris and Shmiras HaBris. Vizehu, and this is why the Pasuk says there, V'ato Oyef V'yogeya, V'lo yore elokim. You were tired and weak, and you were lacking in fear of Hashem. Hepech tikkun habris, which is the opposite of purity in this area of the bris, shehu bechinas isho yiras Hashem. When a person gets married, bigdusha, when a person gets married with holiness, and a man lives with a woman following all the laws of pure, the laws of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, then their relationship is referred to as Isha Yiras Hashem. The Shekhinah, the Holy Divine Spirit of Hashem is with them, which is called the woman of respect for Hashem. The opposite of Elo Yore Elikim. Shehu Malchus Tegdusha. The Isha Yiras Hashem is another name for the Holy Kingdom of Hashem. Shehu Bechinas Tikkun HaTfilah, which goes together with perfection of prayer. Bechinas Isha Yiras Hashem, He Tis Halol. The Pasuk says the woman who has true respect for Hashem, she is praiseworthy. The word Tis Halol means praiseworthy, but the word Tis Halol also means she prays. She has the power of prayer. The power of prayer is dependent on Yiras Hashem. It's dependent on Tikkun HaBris. The Tikkun HaZohar says that the word Bereshis is made up of two words, Bris Eish, the holy covenant of fire, which means it refers to purity in Tikkun HaBris, because the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yitzra, Yud Tzadik Reish Aleph, which refers to the Yetzer Hara, Yitzra, who's called the Yitzra Bisha, the evil inclination, the word Yitzra is Bigimatria Eish. The Yetzer Hara is referred to as a fire, an unholy fire, a passion, a sinful type of passion that tries to get the person to commit sins in the bris. The word Bereshis is also Beyiras Shin. You have the letters, if you take a look at the letters, it's the word Beyiras, Beis, Yud, Reish, Aleph, Tov, and then the letter Shin represents Elohim. Hashem's name Elohim. When you write out each one of the letters as a word, Aleph spelled Aleph Lamed Pei, Lamed, Lamed Mem Dalet, and so on and so forth. So Beyiras Elohim and Bris Eish, those two go together. V'alkein, and therefore Sukkah, Shehu Bechinas Anane Yekovoid, therefore the Sukkah, which represents these holy clouds, Yefsha Liskois Lesukkah Kiyim Ayidei Tikkun HaBris Kanal. It's impossible for a person to achieve the spiritual light of Sukkah without Tikkun HaBris. V'alkein, Sukkah, Hu Bechinas Yaakov Kamuva. And this is why the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus tell us that Sukkah is associated with Yaakov Avinu. Kama Shekosuv, as it says in a Pasuk, Ve'Yaakov Nosa Sukkoiso. Yaakov Avinu traveled to a place called Sukkos. Ki Yaakov Hu Bechinas Yira, because Yaakov Avinu is associated with the Midah of Yira. V'alkein Iker Tikkun HaTfila Al Yodoi. And therefore, the main completion of Tfila is through Yaakov Avinu. As it says about Yaakov Avinu, when he came upon the site of the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Manoiro Hamokoim Hazeh, how awesome is this place? Ein Zeh Kiim Beis Elohim, this is the house of Hashem. Note he used the name Elohim, and he said, Noiro, awesome. Shezeh Bechinas Shleimus Aliois HaTfila. That's associated with the perfection of the elevation of prayer. Lebechinas bias, elevating it to the level of bias, al yedei bechinas yira, through the quality of yira. Ukimuva bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal, as is found in Rabbi Nachman's words, in one of the earlier chapters in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about elevating the tefillah through three levels, Har, Sodeh, and Bayis. The Gemara tells us that Avram Avinu and Yitzchok Avinu and Yaakov Avinu referred to the Beis HaMikdash, to the site of the Beis HaMikdash, by three different terms. Avram Avinu referred to it as a Har. He called it Bahar Hashem Yeroyah, Hashem will be seen on the mountain. By Yitzchok Avinu, it says, Vayetze Yitzchok losuach basode. He went out to speak to Hashem in the field. And by Yaakov Avinu, it says the term bias, Beis Elohim. And there are other places where it uses this term bias about Yaakov Avinu. And Rabbeinu Zal explains that bias is the Shleimus. Har is something very distant, far away from us. Sodeh is something closer. During the time of the Gemara, again, you had the city. Outside the city, there were fields. And if a person went beyond the fields, they would go out to the mountains. So the Har is the furthest thing away from us. Sodeh is closer. Bayis is closest to us. And this represents three different elevations of tefillah. And Yaakov Avinu represents the Shleimus. He referred to Bayis. V'chol zeh zocho al yedei sheshomar brisoi beyoser. And this, all of this, Yaakov Avinu achieved by the fact that he achieved the highest level of Shmiras HaBris, V'hoysa mitoso yishlema. His bed was pure completely. We know that Avram Avinu had a good son and a less good son. He had a Yitzchak and a Yishmael. Yitzchak had a good son, Yaakov Avinu, and he had an Esav. Yaakov Avinu, all of his seed was pure. All of his children were pure. V'alkein zochel b'chinas sukkah. Because he represents the highest level of Tikkun HaBris, therefore he is the one that's associated with sukkah. Ki sukkah hu b'chinas das godol, b'chinas ruach hakodesh, b'chinas makifin. Because the sukkah also represents a very high level of das, mamish, the divine spirit of Hashem, ruach hakodesh. It represents makifin, that knowledge which is so high that I have not yet been able to take it inside my brain. The knowledge that I've acquired, that I already understand and know, is called pnimi, it's inside. The knowledge that's above me, that I have not yet been able to acquire, is called makifin. It's like a halo around the person's head. And sukkah is like a halo around us. It's associated with these makifin. Rabbein Azal speaks about this in chapter 21 in Likutei Moran especially. She'yefsher liskois ladas hazeh kiyim al yidei shmiras habris. And it's impossible for a Jew to achieve this high-level das, the makifin, unless the person has shmiras habris. V'zeh shekosav Rabbeinu neiro yoyer. And this is why Rabbein Azal writes, b'maymar hamakifin, in the chapter on Likutei Moran that speaks a lot about makifin, chapter 21, hamaschil, which begins with a quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, from the Safra Ditzniusa, Atiko Tomir Visosim. There's a level of holiness called Atiko, which is completely hidden and closed. Rabbein Azal teaches us there, She'yefshe liskois lebechinas sukkah, bechinas makifin, kim al yidei sheyekadesh shiva saneiros. That it's impossible for a Jew to achieve this very high level of knowledge that's called makifin, unless the person first purifies the seven candles, which means shehem shiva nikvei hamoyach, which are the seven openings in the face of the brain, which are the mouth, the two nostrils, the two eyes, and the two ears. The Shulchan Aruch says this is like the shape of the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. You had the middle candle, then two around it, and two around that, and the two outer ones. This is called the holy candelabra. These are called the windows of the neshama. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where it says, "Mashgiach min hachaloinois, meitzitz min acharakim." Kaviyochel Hashem looks at us through the windows. He peeks through the curtains. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that these seven are referred to as the windows of the neshama, the windows of the soul. So Rabbein Azal says there that it's impossible for a Jew to achieve a high level of knowledge unless they first purify these seven openings of the head. Dehainu einov, v'oznov, upiv, v'choitmoy. The eyes, the ears, the mouth, and the nose. Shekedushas kol elu hadvorim toloi bekedushas habris, kayadua. Whereby the holiness of each and every one of these parts of the body is dependent on Tikkun HaBris, as is known throughout all the Sifrei Chassidus and Sifrei Kabbalah. We speak about the eyes, we speak about a person looking, not looking at what they're not permitted to look at, Chas V'Shalom. We speak about the ears, listening to what we're supposed to listen to, not listening to things we're not allowed to listen to. All of these things are connected to the concept of Shmiras HaBris, purity, holiness. We don't have time right now to go into the full detail, but there are definite, clear connections. All of them are connected to the union of Shmiras HaBris. V'alkein, and therefore, sukkah, she'ein bo shiva tfochim al shiva tfochim, psula. The Gemara tells us that the minimum area of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tfochim. A tefach is a fist, which is generally between 3 and 4 inches. Kitzrichen liyois gedoyla lefochay shiva tfochim keneged shiva saneiros, meaning that your sukkah must be at least 7 by 7, corresponding to these 7 candles, these 7 openings of the head, shetzorech lekachon, which a Jew has to sanctify. Sha'al yodom nasa hasukkah, they are what generate the spiritual light of the sukkah. Ki defanois mechitzas hasukkah moira al gvul hakedusha, because the walls of the sukkah, they represent the boundaries of holiness. Uleshom tzorich lahachnis kol klei tashmishoi vachiloso ishtiose vishinosoi. And it's inside the walls of the sukkah that the person is supposed to bring all of their furniture, their beds, and their food, and their drink, the chol shad srochav, and all the other things they're going to need to live in the sukkah. Kulam tzrichen liyos betoich hasukkah dafka. All of them are supposed to be brought into the sukkah for the holiday, meaning dahainu betoich gvul hakdusha. What this means is that a person wants to bring all of their physical, materialistic needs, the eating and the drinking and sleeping, they want to bring it into the domain of holiness. So that they should not go out of bounds. They shouldn't go out of the realm of holiness. Which means outside the sukkah. But the most important thing is, shall kol ponim tia sukkah gedoy lo shiva tfochim, that the sukkah should be at least 7 tfochim by 7, keneged shiva saneiros, corresponding to the 7 candles, kidei sheyachnis kulam letoich hasukkah, so that the person is bringing all of these into the sukkah, letoich gvul hakedusha, into the domain of holiness, within the boundaries of holiness, v'lo yetzu chutz, chas v'shom lechutz. They should not go out of bounds. And now Rav Nosson Zal says in parentheses, Ve'elu shiva saneiros, she'em oyer haponim, she'tluyim b'kdushas habris, these 7 candles that we said, which represent the light of the face, and they represent the holiness of the bris, he'em b'chinas tfochim. They are associated with the measurement called tefach, a fist. Bechinas v'tofach loy al ponov, he will strike him on his face. Shetzorich lekadesh hatfochim ho'elu al yidei kedusha sabris, whereby a person has to purify these tfochim through the holiness of the bris. V'ze bechinas sukkah shel shiva tfochim, this is the concept of the sukkah being 7 and tefach. Ayin b'divrei Rabbeinu Hamaschel Soid Kavanas Samila b'Simen Samach Gimel. Take a look in chapter 63 of Likutei Moran, which is called Soid Kavanas Samila, the secret explanation of the deep thoughts of the Arizal on the topic of Bris Mila, where Rabbeinu Zalveh speaks about, the Gemara says that the organ, the male organ, is referred to as Amma. It's called Amma, and we know that the word Amma in Hebrew is also a measure. The word Amma, an Amma, is 6 tfachim, the size of 6 tfachim. That's called an Amma, which is one of the measurements that's used very often throughout the Torah. So the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, we know that the number 6 is the Mid of Yesoid, which is Tikkun HaBris. We mentioned many times that Yosef, who is the symbol of Tikkun HaBris, is Bigematria 6 times Yudke Vavke. So that's the Amma, which is Shisha Tfachim. And over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal brings several psukim to show how the term Tefach is associated with Tikkun HaBris. Ki ho ikar tolui beroshei hoevorim, v'hachushim hoelu, because the main purity and holiness of a Jew is dependent on the most important organs of the body, and the most from which the 5 senses are operating, the chushim, which are these 7 openings of the head, we said, the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, and the mouth. V'chol sharei hoivorim nigrorim achreihem. And the other organs of the body will usually naturally follow their lead. The leaders of the body are the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth. If they are in being maintained in holiness, generally the rest of the body will follow suit. V'zeh shomru Rabbi Seinu Zal, and this is why the Gemara says, shetzricho lihyos gedoilo shiva tfachim, that the minimum size of area of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tfachim, kedei lahachnis sham roishoi verubai v'shulchanoi, in order for the person to be able to put their head, majority of their body, and a little table inside to be able to eat on. Ki elu hashiva nikvei hamoyachanal heim roishoi verubai shalodon, v'chol hataivois tluyim bohem. Because these 7 openings of the head represent the head and the majority of the person, the most important part of the person, whereby all desires are controlled, are maintained by them. We know the Gemara says, the eye see, the heart desires, and the rest of the body falls into line to execute. V'ho'ikar, tolui she'yachnis oisam l'toich gvul ha'kedusha, ayidektushas ha'briskanav. And the most important thing is for a person to bring these things, the eyes, all of these things, into the area of holiness. And the way that a person does that, especially, is through Kedushas HaBris, by being pure in thought, in speech, and action regarding the mitzvahs that are related to the relationship between men and women. We'll hold it over here at this point. Rav Nosson Zal spoke so far about the area of a sukkah. In the last piece of this paragraph, he'll go into the height of this sukkah. We'll continue from here, and it's Hashem, in the next shiur. I want to allow time if there are any questions, please.
Rav Weinman, is it the Arba Minim or the Sheva Minim that help to protect the 7 openings? Has there been ever mentioned this? Or
as far as I know, I don't know of a direct association between the Arba Minim. It's the 7 openings that here Rav Nosson Zal is showing us the connection between these 7 openings of the head, which are referred to as the 7 candles of the candelabra in the Beis HaMikdash. And that candelabra represents the brain of a person, which is the light. When we speak about light, we're talking about das, seichel usually, which again is defined by these, by purity in the 7 openings of the head, and which the underlying power to that is the issue of tikkun abris. The purity of the entire person is defined especially by purity in the bris area. We know the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ikra de Yitzra Bisha Alarai. The main focus of the Yetzahara is to try to get us to commit sins with Pegama Briz, because he knows that this will affect everything. This will damage everything. We know that every angel has a name. The angel of death, the Yetzahara, is called Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. And that name, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, the numerical value is 131. The root of the word niyuf. Niyuf means adultery, sins of pigama bris. Nun aleph pei is also bigamatria 131. To show that this is his main focus. He knows if he gets us to be weak in this area, it'll affect our thinking, it'll affect everything. Someone pointed out the importance of Shmiras Haloshon, guarding one's tongue. We mentioned in the past that in Kabbalah, in Chassidus, the tongue and the lower bris, both of them are called bris. There's the term bris hamo'er, mem ayin vav resh, which is associated with the lower bris, and there's the bris haloshon. Those two are the concept of a person speaking, saying what they're not supposed to, is the same concepts in as a person chas shalom placing their seed where they're not supposed to chas shalom. speaking when or where or about what a person's not supposed to is congruous with the concept of chas v'shalom, a person emitting seed, when or where or in a manner they're not supposed to. Those two are very much linked together.
Rabbi, you mentioned before about where a woman gets her power of prayer. Can you mention that again, please?
I'm sorry, where a woman gets her?
Power of prayer.
We mentioned that the woman represents prayer. Isho yiras Hashem hitisalo. And we said that prayer is dependent on tikkun abris. We mentioned the connection between yesoid and malchus. A woman is prayer. You know, the term Isho yiras Hashem hitisalo. She is praiseworthy. She is prayer. We're told that women it's more natural for women to pray. They represent malchus. They represent emuna. They represent the shechina.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions, please?
Rav Nosson mentioned earlier that Leah prayed not to marry Esav. And I remember learning once that that Yaakov Avinu was maybe criticized for hiding Dina from Esav because she could have mekarved him. Is there any concept that Leah could have also done that and she...
The answer is I'm familiar with both of those things. That number one, we're told that Leah cried and cried pleading with Hashem that she should not connect with Esav. I don't recall seeing that there was anything wrong in that. It seems that she was correct. In the case of Yaakov Avinu hiding Dina, not showing her at the time, there it is presented as if it was, on a certain level, possibly a slight mistake, you know, that kind of thing. I don't recall seeing that by Leah it's mentioned. And we see how delicate, what a fine line there is sometimes, that the greatest of tzaddikim have to deal with, to know when to be makariv, when to be marachik. I remember seeing not long ago that where Rav Nosson Zal speaks about the issue of not pushing anyone away, and he gives examples of the greatest tzaddikim, Elisha Hanavi, who had a student Gehazi, who the Torah tells us he did terrible, terrible things, and yet the Torah tells us that Elisha was punished for pushing him away with both hands, for rejecting Gehazi, even in the case of Gehazi. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that this is a very delicate issue which applies even to tzaddikim and even the greatest of tzaddikim. We saw in the case of Yosef HaTzadik, who was living in Egypt for many years, and when his father was about to pass away and he wanted to present his sons to get a bracha from Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu's first reaction was he jumped away and he said, "Who are these?" Because Yaakov Avinu was able to look with Ruach HaKodesh and he saw things that were wrong with both of them. And yet Yosef HaTzadik said, Hayelodim asher chonan li Elokim bozeh. These are the children that Hashem has blessed me with and graced me with in this place, in Egypt. And Rav Nosson Zal shows the interaction that we see even between Yaakov and Esav, that Yaakov's first reaction was, they don't qualify, they don't deserve a bracha. I don't want to bless them. And Yosef HaTzadik pleaded and convinced Yaakov Avinu, yes, they do. You can even bless them because there's a lot of good that's going to come from them. Before I forget, there were two things I wanted to mention for those that can stay. This is extra credit related to things we spoke about before. When we spoke, we mentioned the elevation of tefillah. We mentioned Yaakov Avinu being the perfection of tefillah, which is referred to as bias. And we mentioned Har Soda. There's a beautiful Dvar Torah that's mentioned on this topic, whereby we're told that the tzaddikim, and this is also tied into the concept of sukkah. A sukkah is for protection. The clouds surrounded and protected the Jews while we were traveling through the desert. we're told that the different tzaddikim wanted to put up, through their prayer, wanted to put up walls of protection for Klal Yisrael. So the one of these wall, one of the definitions or terms that's used related to these walls is a machane. A machane means a camp of Kedusha. A camp of Kedusha. We know that we're told in the Torah that Yaakov Avinu, when he was gonna face off with Esav, he first saw a group of angels, and he named that site Machanayim, because he said they were a machane elikim, a camp, a divine camp of Hashem. So it's brought that's the first wall, protective wall, that Hashem put up to protect the Jews. Avram Avinu came along, and through his avoda, through his tefillah, and through his participation in being ready to offer his son as a human sacrifice at the Akedah, he said, Bahar Hashem Yeroah, that Hashem should be seen on a har. He put up the second wall, protective wall around the Jews. The word har is two times machane. Machane is 103, har is 205. With the kolel, it's two times machane. Yitzchak Avinu came along, and he put up the third protective wall around the Jews through his tefillah, through his avodah. The word sadeh is bigematria, three times machane. And Yaakov Avinu is the one who put up the fourth protective wall. He served Hashem in the form of bayis, beis elikim. Bayis is four times machane. And a person would say, okay, now we have four walls around us, we're protected completely. However, we know that during the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, it's brought that fire came down from heaven. Mimoroim sholach esh batzmoisai. Hashem sent a fire down from heaven into our bones, into our midst. So we need a roof. We need a roof for this bias. This was achieved in the final move, the final activity of Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life, when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 tefillos to get Eretz Yisrael, and he did not get into Eretz Yisrael. The word Voeschanan is bigematria five times machane. He's the one who placed the roof over this structure, which is what continues to protect us till today. It's the walls that these great tzaddikim have put up through their tefillah, through their avodah, that protect us, that enable us to survive throughout all the crises and terrible things that we've been through and we continue to go through until the coming of Moshiach. There was a second thing I wanted to mention. Unfortunately, it slipped my mind. If I remember, we'll try to include it another time. Wishing everybody a wonderful day and a good week and besuras tovas.
All the best, Kol Tov.
Thank you for
asking. Look good.
And Christmas cross up north. Have a good day.
All the best.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, Rabbi.
You too. All the best.